Hello and welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, everybody, for this May 7th, 2025. I have your host, James J. Maleff here. We're spending our time today with Wood County Sheriff's Department. We've got Investigative Lieutenant Scott Goldberg in with us right now. Scott, good to see you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Good seeing you, too. I'm happy to report that the weather is finally feeling like it's summer again, and things are drying up, and maybe I'll even be able to mow my yard this week because it won't be so wet. So.
Yeah, here's hoping. Yeah, I want to send a big shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Do yourself a favor, go to YouTube, subscribe to their page, keep up to date on the amazing work that they are doing over there. Got a lot of cool snippets and vignettes and things that they're doing over there. Encourage you to check out everybody. Talking to a lot of our local businesses and different people out there that I think you're going to find really interesting. Have you guys done this yet where it was so nice yesterday, I was looking over my shoulder waiting for Mother Nature to throw a snowball at me or something? Like, I haven't gotten over, like, I'm just looking over real quick, just making sure. So this nice weather, hopefully here to stay. We've got some other things that are here to stay, Scott. We've got three new investigators coming to the area. Can we talk about them, get to know them a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of exciting to announce some new investigators. Due to some retirements and some reassignments, like any other business, things change. And the exciting part about these three new investigators is they bring a lot to the table. None of them are new to the department. They've come with experience. And the first one I'll bring up is Alicia Brundage, who is in the division. And her focus is going to be on that mental health piece that we, and as you know from previous conversations with Sheriff Becker, is such an important part to our sheriff's department. And we know that if we're going to help solve the problems with people that are struggling in our community, we have to have a person that's working in that capacity. Doug Christensen, who retired from that position just recently, worked with Alicia for many years. She's had tons and tons of training, continues to train because it's always changing. So, and the more training we can get, the better. So excited to bring her on board. Dan Barris comes from a family of law enforcement. His uncle, actually, Dean Barris, started our computer technology lab at the Sheriff's Department many years ago, and he's since retired many years ago already. His dad was also a police officer for Marshfield Police Department, and his brother's actually a cop in Marshfield Police Department as an investigator up there. So he comes from a legacy of investigators, which is really cool. The neat part about Dan is he's the exact opposite of me. He is very techie. He understands so much about computers, apps on phones. He can navigate through a lot of what our investigations are now, technology, through that. And having him on board for that is super exciting. He'll be partnering with Jeremy Keith, who's investigative sergeant already with the department that's kind of focused on computer crimes. Mm-hmm. And we say computer crimes, but a lot of times that is our cell phones now, because cell phones are a mini computer, and that's what they'll be focusing on. Dan isn't a general investigator, will be assigned all different types of cases, but having that experience and capability is really nice to have another person with that ability. The third person who will be assigned to our Marshfield office will be Cody Stry. He'll be assigned to General Investigations 2. I'm not sure I've ever met someone who works harder than Cody. He is probably one of the hardest working individuals I have met. He's mentally a tough person, and I'm super excited to have him on board due to his work ethic. And that's something that, I'm happy about with all the people in my division. They are super hard workers, hard chargers. But Cody takes it to the next level. So I'm excited about that. It's always nice to have hard workers on board.
With the mental health person you brought on, what was her name?
Alicia Brundage.
Alicia, it was Alicia. I couldn't place it. All three of these individuals, welcome to the team, and appreciate them and appreciate what they've done with their careers to be here and all that. With the mental health part, is her focus going to be mainly on inmates, if you will, or more on officers, or is she going to be doing a little bit of both?
That's a good question. I think it's mostly going to be. I shouldn't say mostly. It's going to be Everything. She's working with the community. So if we have a person that's struggling in the community with mental health, maybe they have some addiction issues, she's going to be a member of our, she is a member of our mental health court, a drug court. She also visits individuals in jail that are struggling. And then she's part of our peer support. So officers, you know, that are struggling with things that they have seen or been through. And I think Sheriff Becker's talked about this in the past, how, you know, the times are changing. When I started in law enforcement 20 years ago, you didn't talk to anybody. You've seen some of the worst things that you can imagine. And we're learning that cops, just like people in the military, it's hard to survive if you keep that all in. So the more treatment and help we can get, the better. So yeah, she'll be, she's going to be very versatile and doing a lot. And a lot of it, she's just a member of the team of these people that are working on that. So like our peer support, there's many people that are a part of that. And she's kind of just leading that team.
It's a brave world that we're in right now, where we're talking about this stuff that we used to keep quiet. And it's interesting, today would have been Gary Cooper's birthday, and that's the first person I think of with the strong, quiet type and all that. And learning that, you know, actually, if you knew anything about Gary Cooper, he had a lot of stuff going on, man. He just didn't, he probably would have been better off talking about it. And we're realizing that now, it's the opposite of what we thought all these years. The strongest, toughest people actually do face these things and talk about them. But now the real work really has to begin. Now that we've all kind of gotten as a society, it very much reminds me of recycling. And I know that may seem like a weird comp and everything, but there was a time and age at our ages where we never thought everybody'd be recycling. We never thought we'd be where we are with it. And now we don't even think twice about it. We just recycle. We're getting there with mental health. But now the work comes in of, well, okay, how do I attack this? How do I do this? What do I do? And having somebody in the area that's not just, because I thought of you guys first, and having somebody there for you guys to go to the point of what you were talking about before, certainly in it could be very beneficial too. But the fact that she's doing this for the city, for the community and everything, like that takes it another step. And I appreciate it. But I also hope the audience is also hearing and seeing what I am and the amount of things that is put on our officers and the department and everything, and how to give that some understanding, some empathy and thanks. And appreciation, because that's not something I know a lot of you signed up for necessarily. And I know what you signed up for was what is going to help the community, protect the community and all those things. And this falls under that category. At the same time, like you said, this wasn't something we thought about early back in the day, no matter what field you were going into.
No, first off, I appreciate you recognizing that. And, you know, it's all about having that support system. And, you know, it's tough to take it home. I don't want that burden to be on my wife and my kids. You know, it's not fair to my wife to have to hear the gruesome things that we've seen. So the old school way is you just didn't talk about it at all. Yeah. You moved on. And to have that support group and have somebody to go to if you're struggling, it's so very important. And we do wellness checks now yearly, and it's gone really well. So, you know, having Alicia in this new spot, it's exciting for me because she has passion for it. And it takes a special person, to have passion that for that mental health spot, because I'm not sure I could do it and to deal with that every day. So I appreciate her for that.
I second that. I couldn't either. I really admire the people that go into that industry and do that. And we're really thankful to have her around, as well as the rest of the team here and these new additions that are going to hopefully not only help our community, whether it's on a safe level, but also on an officer level of maybe being able to take some things that were on certain people's plates and take them off or any of that stuff. Bringing new people into to the business is always good, especially in this industry that we're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, Dan Barris is a good example of that, because Jeremy Keith has had a lot on his workload with the computer crimes investigations, because you know, we get burglaries and thefts, but they're pretty rare now. And one, I'm proud of that, because you know, we solve them, and thieves and burglars realize that we're going to solve those cases. So a lot of the crimes that we're dealing with are are computer crimes or, you know, sadly, child pornography cases, or sexual crimes that take place through computers or cell phones. And, you know, there's a lot in the media about those sorts of things, but that takes man hours to investigate. Nothing is fast. If we submit a warrant to, let's say, Google, it's not like on TV where we get it, 30 seconds later. That could come back a month later. And so, you know, tying these cases together takes time and it takes man hours. And having another person like Dan, who really understands the technical piece of it, is super important and super exciting.
Yeah, it wasn't until talking to Sheriff Becker that I realized that you guys don't solve every case by playing some techno music and having a montage. I thought that's how it was done. I thought that's what you did. That CSI show. No, it's a great point that you bring up there, and it also I hope brings home all the more of like when we see these finished products, i.e., you know, seeing a court case in the paper or something like that, or in the news, all the time and work and effort that goes into that happening. Anytime we can note that, I think is a good one. I appreciate that, Scott. And you brought up another subject that I think is a perfect segue into the crypto troubles that we have been having and what's been going on with that in our area. I know that you guys had recently a press release about this.
Yeah, so this is really a hot topic across not only the state of Wisconsin, but really the nation. And I want the listeners to really understand what is taking place. So, because there seems to be some confusion about what the scams are or how people are getting scammed or tricked into losing a lot of money. And so what we're dealing with traditionally with the traditional scams, just so everybody has an example, that's the best way to hand this out, this information out, is a lot of times people will receive either a message on their computer or their phone, and they're a lot of times given they're basically showing that their bank accounts have been compromised. So somebody's going to steal money from them. And a lot of times, one way or another, the scammer will get on the phone with them and say they're from XYZ bank. And it'll be a local bank, and a lot of times they figure out which bank that the individuals bank with. And they say, I'm this bank, and you bank with us, and we need you to come in and secure your money because your bank account's been compromised. And people, unfortunately, fall for it. And some of these people are sharp people. They're, you know, a lot of times people are like, that won't happen to me because I know not to do that. But so a lot of these people are pretty sharp, and they still fall for it, victim of it. And so what'll take place is that person will stay on the phone with you traditionally. You'll go take that money out of the bank. And traditionally, we're seeing money for anywhere from $2,000 to $40,000. I know we recently had one in the county in excess of $60,000 taken out of the bank account. And then you're asked to go to, it's a public place always. They're traditionally in gas stations or convenience marts, some vape shops. They're called the cryptocurrency kiosks. They look very similar to an ATM machine. And there's all different types of makers and brands of them. And then you're basically given directions by the scammer over the phone how to create an account. And they'll say it's to secure your money. So you don't lose your money. But what'll end up happening is you'll end up putting that U.S. currency into that machine. And what you're doing is you're buying cryptocurrency, a very small piece of cryptocurrency. And then that scammer is going to say, hey, I need that information to what they call a digital wallet. So when you buy that cryptocurrency, they'll put that cryptocurrency into a digital wallet, and then you'll hand over that information. And as soon as that happens, that money's gone, unfortunately. They'll hang up the phone, and the cryptocurrency is then stolen by the scammers. And what we're finding is traditionally very quickly that money is moved overseas because it's digital. It's not an actual hard copy of money. It's moved overseas, and there's nothing we can do to get that cryptocurrency back. I mean, we're working on trying to get results so we can get that money back, but traditionally it's very difficult. So what we're doing, and we have been doing for basically the last 2 years, is we've been writing search warrants for those machines, and we've been seizing the U.S. currency out of the machines and holding that money. And recently what we've been doing is holding that money in our evidence, and then we let interested parties. So interested parties are the individual who got scammed, and traditionally it's that crypto company that sold that cryptocurrency to that person. And at that point, we're letting those interested parties take the proper court procedures to determine who should receive this money. Mm-hmm. And we're getting a lot of pushback through not from the community. I think the victims locally and across the state would recognize the fact that that this person's being scammed as soon as they pick up the phone. They're not legitimately purchasing this cryptocurrency, so they're being scammed right away as soon as they pick up that phone. And we're getting pushback from the crypto companies. And not all of them. Some have been great to work with. They understand. They're trying to prevent the the scams too, because they're losing money too, and we recognize that. We've had some troubles with recently with a crypto company called Bitcoin Depot, and they've unfortunately been pushing back quite hard. Mm-hmm. And they did end up they complied with the search warrant, but you know, unfortunately, they haven't been working with other agencies, and they're indicating that's because of us through the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We are more than happy to work with any of these crypto companies. We want a solution, and we've been working towards a solution with our local representatives throughout the state. So we're trying to get a law. Sheriff Becker and many members of the Sheriff's Department have been working with and not just our Sheriff's Department, the Department of Justice, other Sheriff's Departments have been working towards getting a law that can put some restrictions on these machines.
The internet, the great World Wide Web has been the Wild West for a while, and it's going to be. And we're kind of in the early, I know it's been around for a while, but we're still in the early days of figuring this out, whether it's our judicial system or just us as a society and how to deal with these things. I'm only repeating what I've said on the air many, many times. Anytime I hear the word crypto, you lose me. Like, I have no interest. Everything I know about it, and every time we hear about one of these crypto companies, something negative is attached to it, or some kind of scam or something like that. Now, I've done my homework, and I've also been in privilege in a job that I get a lot of information about this stuff. So for me, when I immediately, whether it's fair or not, I hear the word crypto, I think scam. And I'm staying away from it and everything. But I'm in such a privileged situation and a place where I'm in a middle ground of understanding enough tech to where I don't get hustled on these things sometimes. Although I have been, you know, worrisome about it, and I've been close to getting caught even with that. And I also have enough people that I can talk to. I have a reach out to all those things. So many of the victims of this are in isolation. So many of the victims of this, these companies, while you think of a big conglomerate or something like that, it's a bunch of, scumbag individuals getting together that have made a lifetime of being able to look for the weakness, or what they see as weakness in people, or see people that are in a vulnerable situation. They are no different than back in the 1920s or hundreds of snake oil salesmen that came to town and could read and knew the audience. Oh, there's my sucker. Oh, there's my person. And it doesn't make you a sucker. It doesn't make you those things. It just means that you have usually a good heart, or you're trying to do something new with your, you know, you have some fears about the economy. And so, you know, crypto seems tempting or something like that. I don't think that there's anybody on that side of it coming to it from a bad place, an understandable place even. But when it comes to the scammers and these people and everything, this is why, to me, that industry will never accomplish anything. They've got too much negative and not nearly enough positive to it. All that being said, when you are in this situation and you are curious, hey, I want to give this a try. I want to check this out. Are there telltales? Are there, you know, quote, red flags that like, hey, this is not a legitimate crypto company? Are there things that you and your team are seeing that kind of can give people a little bit of a heads up maybe of that?
Yeah. So number one thing is it's very important to know that your bank is never going to call you and tell you to come withdraw money from your bank account to secure it, okay? Because banks, they're insured. And that's the big difference between a crypto company and cryptocurrency and a bank is a cryptocurrency is not insured, like, federally. But if somebody is telling you to come withdraw money and take it out for security reasons, like your bank's, like you're going to lose money from your bank account, and that money needs to be withdrawn, the bank is not going to call you and tell you to do that. So as soon as that would occur at any point, you need to hang up the phone. And then my suggestion is actually call your local PD or sheriff's department. And then the next call should be to your bank to say, hey, this is happening. I need to make sure that my funds are froze so the money can't come or go from it. That's the number one thing, is to actually physically call your bank. Your bank is never going to tell you to come take money out. I will say this, our local banks have been working very good with people. They've been asking a lot of questions. So people that are falling victim of this are coming into the banks and, you know, trying to withdraw, let's say, $10,000. And they're asking questions. Why do you need $10,000 cash? Again, the scammers are very good. They're going to give an excuse, like tell them that you're buying a car, or tell them that you're having a roof job done, and you're going to pay cash for it or whatnot. So the banks are, you know, it's your money, so they will give it to you. But at the same time, they are doing a good job preventing a lot of these, and I appreciate that. And I will say a lot of our local gas stations or vape shops, wherever these machines are being held, they're trying to do their part of it too. And they see traditionally it's an elderly person that doesn't understand the cryptocurrency and how it works, putting in a large amount of U.S. currency, they're trying to stop these people from doing it. And so we appreciate that and the community's effort in trying to prevent these crimes too. But to touch on the victims itself, you know, and I don't blame the victims at all in this case, no. Because a lot of it is just no different. We're all going to be in that position. Like we talked about before, I'm not as techie as our new generation, mm-hmm. and my parents are less techie than me.
Yeah.
And then my grandparents, God rest their soul, they've all passed, but you know, they didn't have the ability to understand the internet like we all do, mm-hmm. or understand how a digital currency works.
Yeah.
And so very understandable why there's some confusion. We didn't go to When I was in grade school, we didn't have computers until I got to junior high, where we started to learn how to type.
Right.
Now, my 6-year-old in kindergarten already has computer time at school. So, I mean, it's just a different world.
Yeah.
And these scammers, it's a not a single person that does this. This is like a business that they're running to scam people. So some of the restrictions we'd like to see on these machines, and we're suggesting this to our local lawmakers, mm-hmm. and at the state level, is it's so important to get restrictions. And a lot of other states, we're one of the few states that don't have any laws on these machines at this time. And that's what we're learning, and it's causing, we're being targeted now by scammers because they know other states have a law in place. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest restriction that we would like to see is a maximum amount, a daily amount that could be put on these machines. Let's say like $2,000. The scammers don't want $2,000. They want $40,000. So $2,000 would be enough to limit it. The other part of this with these machines is they have a very high fee. Usually it's 20 to 30% they take off the top. You can buy cryptocurrency for free. Yes. Through the stock market, or
a great point.
I have an app on my phone. It's called Robinhood. Yes. You can connect your bank to it, and I'm not promoting any of these.
But
at the same time, you could buy it for free. Why would you spend 20 or 30% and lose that? It's important for the public to understand that that if you want to buy cryptocurrency, I'm fine with that. Just do it safely.
Yeah.
And that's so important. The other restrictions we would like to see and love to see would be similar to like if you put a check in the bank, a large check, mm-hmm. which unfortunately I don't get a lot of those in my life. But if I had a $10,000 check and I was going to go ahead and put that in the bank, they're going to put a hold on that check for up to 5 to 7 days. And that's a law that they can do that. And the reason why is they want to make sure that money's good. Mm-hmm. is the check going to clear, number one, or is there a problem with it? Is this part of a financial scam? And the reason those laws were made were to prevent scammers from stealing. So we would like to see some, you know, some type of regulations on these types of machines similar to that. The last thing that a lot of other states are getting is if law enforcement's able to prove that that money is scammed and moved out of country, and a lot of times that is the case, almost always, yeah, that the cryptocurrency companies are on the hook for it. The reason why is we want to work as a team with these companies, and they should want the same things as us. Mm-hmm. And we understand that they're in the business to make money, but at the same time, we don't want it to be off of the, you know, the hands of vulnerable subjects that don't understand how cryptocurrency works and, you know, through these scammers. So when they take that money and they take that fee, that 20%, let's say it's $15,000 that you put into that machine, they're going to take close to $4,000, and that goes into their pocket. And it's so important for people to understand that, that, you know, they're in it for a business, and yeah, and I understand that, but at the same time, they have to put the protections, the warnings, for people to understand what's taking place.
Well, and, you know, asking yourself if you're in this situation, you know, think about any time you've ever dealt with a salesperson or dealt with a business, even over the phone. They're patient. They want to make the sale. So they're going to do what they can to work with you and all that. They're not rushing you to make decisions. They're not asking you to physically go to the bank and take things out. No legitimate business is going to do certain things like this. And I think one of the things that, and this is something that Sheriff Becker and I have talked about a lot, trusting that old fight or flight instinct. 9 times out of 10, your gut is going to be telling you something, and listen to it. And if you have follow-up questions, if you are not sure about something, go ahead and pause and wait before you make some big decision or anything, and do your homework on this stuff. I've talked to a lot of people about this, having nothing to do with scams, just in crypto in general, and learning about it. And I think that it's really important too, and seeing what these crypto farms are doing to our environment and some of these things. I think it's, you know, it should be common knowledge. I think if you're going to be investing in something like this, you should know about it. Take the time, do that. And when you're doing that and have that breath, if it's a legitimate business, they'll still be there. They want your business. They'll wait for you. If it's a hustler, they gotta move now. They gotta go now. They gotta now. That's how that works. That's how every hustle in human history has ever worked. They gotta get you going now. They don't want you to think about this. That's when you make decisions that don't help them. They want you to do this fast, and they're gonna go that route with it. Just one quick thing before we let you go, Scott, and thank you so much for the conversation today. I did want to say, and piggybacking on what you talked about, to all the people that have come forward, who have been in this situation, thank you. Thank you for coming forward. Thank you for being so brave about this. Not every, you know, there's certainly, you know this better than I do, man. There's certainly a lot of crimes where you can't really, you know, hide that. We know what you did. This is one that, unfortunately, there's so many, for every person we know about, there are so many individuals out there that we don't even know that they were hustled, that they went through this scam, or they were scammed because of shame or fear, or they maybe even fear that they did something wrong or something like that. Just like I was talking about mental health, I think it is, I'm not overusing this word, it is brave to do that, to come forward with that. You have no reason not to. You did nothing wrong. You were not hustled. It wasn't like you had a something in your brain that didn't work or something like that. Like, we've all been there. We've all had these things happen. And I admire that. I admire the people that have come forward about this and appreciate it, because that's how we can help others. And that's how Scott and his team can do the good work they're doing and prevent more of these.
Yeah, if you have any chance to get your money back in these cases, you have to come forward. And there's no shame. We don't spread the victims' names around. We keep it in-house, and it's important to know that all of our employees, that the Sheriff's Department, are going to be sensitive to these types of crimes. So don't be embarrassed. It happens. I've picked up the phone, just like you were saying, picked up the phone and said to myself, is this real or is this not real?
Yeah.
And I've had to do that. I've gotten a text before saying, hey, did you make this charge on my credit card? Mm-hmm. And it actually was from my credit card company, but I actually, you know, pause, take a deep breath, logged in, checked my credit card, and then I actually called the company, mm-hmm, themselves and said, hey, I called them and right. their number. And then I found out that, yes, it was somebody was trying to use my card.
Right.
And so it happens. So it can happen to anybody. There's no embarrassment to it. So it's important. We can investigate it if we don't know about it. Please right. come forward, and we're going to help you in any way we can.
Scott, if people do have information like that, or they just have follow-up questions, want to reach out and get to talk with you, is there a way to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, number one, you can always call our dispatch center and ask for me, and that phone number is 715-421-8700. I think it's important for people just to know that that's going to be to our dispatch center. Ask for Lieutenant Scott Goldberg, and they'll transfer you to me at that point, and I'll help you in any way I can, or if I can't, I'll try to find the answers or get you to someone who knows them.
We've been speaking with Investigative Lieutenant Scott Goldberg with the Wood County Sheriff's Department, and really do appreciate the time, Scott. Good to see you again and hang out. Say hi to the team over there for us, all right?
Sure will. We appreciate it.
Be safe out there.
Yeah, thank you.
And a big, big thank you to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to their page. I'll wait. Okay, good. You did it. Good. And keep up to date with all the cool things that they're doing over there. Big thank you to them for joining us and all of you for joining us. We'll have new episodes of the Rapids Report every day streaming live, live and direct for you at 2 o'clock right here at WFHR.com.